As the non-league world prepares for the wettest winter since Noah was a lad, the NPL show is back with November's edition of this future award-winning dedicated show to the Northern Premier League and its three divisions. And round the table here, live at the Magnet, we've got Swampy from FCM Radio. Don't look stunned. It was a good opening, one said
it. It was an opening, I'll give you that. Yeah. It was an opening that you've always prepared for about, what, it seems about 6 weeks.
No, well, you...
Too many biblical references.
From the NPL Facebook group...
Good evening, by the way.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
From the NPL Facebook group, we've got James Hayes. Hi, James. How are you? All right?
Not too bad.
Yeah. From BBC Radio Manchester, non-league expert, we've got Ian Burke.
The award-nominated Ian Burke.
And new to the show, not Roy Sill, replacing Roy Sill, it's a Manchester Evening News journalist and someone with strong connections with Curzon Ashton, it's Aaron Flanagan. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Can I just say two things first and foremost?
Yes.
Aaron is sporting a jumper that is very reminiscent of somebody around the Christmas period. You'd be stood next to a fire watching him drinking eggnog. And I have to say, James, we mentioned in the last couple of shows that you have a resemblance of a certain Tony Hadley wearing a white shirt tonight. Just to enhance that fact, it's absolutely incredible. You've got the hair, it's wet outside, it's slicked back, it's looking good. You are indeed gold.
Anyway, this is the NPL show. Welcome to November's edition. We'll have an FA Trophy and Dudson Cup review preview section in part two of the show later on, but it's time to start with part one, which is all about the Premier Division. So Skelmersdale United are out in front, still had a good solid month. However, Chorley were the ones who won team of the month. They're a point behind Skelmersdale now with a game in hand. Very tight, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. I mean, we'll always go back to the very beginning of the season and sort of like what we discussed during pre-season, and we said that Fylde and both Chorley would be up there, and Chorley have certainly, for me, have shown the credentials, the quality, what they possess. Skelmersdale have done superbly well. They came to FC United and put FC United to the sword. Certainly from a goal perspective, they took everything clinically, and you can see the quality that they've got, and it's in abundance there. And you can expect them to continue throughout the season to play that kind of good quality football. You can see them playing in a way that not many teams are going to be able to compete with them. Fylde last night getting beat, which is a big, big shock. Ben Deegan and Aaron Burns scoring two goals in the 70 and the 76 minute to win that game.
That's the second time Fylde have been beaten.
It is, yeah.
In recent weeks, Trafford as well, a few weeks
Trafford
back.
Was a huge, huge result, in fairness. But I can't, in all honesty, see Chorley suffering those kind of defeats. I can't see them actually letting go. They're a point behind against Skem. But I really see they were tipped as I tipped them as sort of like the team that maybe go and win this league. It's still early days in reality. But coming to Christmas, it's one of those times now where you're looking at the team, looking at the division, and they've done very, very well.
Roy Sill highlighted last month that AFC Fylde are dropping silly points here and there, and lo and behold, shock defeats in a way.
Well, yeah, but the biggest shock for me really is that Trafford are where they are. I mean, they're fourth from bottom. I've seen them this season, and they've been phenomenal. They look so tight at the back. But then they go up to Chorley and lose 5-0. You just can't predict Trafford at the minute. Not quite as unpredictable as New Mills, I suppose.
Roy Sill was driving in his car then, and even though he's not here in the show, he still went, oh, come on.
But the thing is, when I was here last, I said that Skelmersdale, they were my dark horses for the season. In fact, they were big strutting stallions, and I think that's proven to be, hasn't it, over the last couple of months. I'm fully expecting that they'll be up there come the end of the season as well. Although, whether they'll be first, second or third, I'm not too sure. But, you know, we've not mentioned FC United either. They always come strong in the second half of the season, don't they?
Well, one of my talking points is FC United's games in hand that are mounting up. And I'm pretty sure that it's going to get worse as the next months progress. Currently, we've actually got four games in hand on the playoff sides, and we're only 6 points off the playoffs. I'm not going to come to you because you've got the inside track. I'd like to go to the guy. I'd like to go to the guy who suggested we take
Tony.
A break this year.
Go to Tony.
So Tony, what do you make of FC's chances? Because it's been blowing hot and cold, but yet.
Well, you got us to thank anyway for that for Saturday, so don't worry about that. but yeah, but obviously, a couple of shocks are there at the top half. So United, obviously, you've got the games done from cup runs and cancellations, and obviously, obviously had a massive blow in the result from last night as well, losing a strike again for another three games.
Four, second red card of the season.
Four games of Michael Norton. So it's just a case of now, especially coming to this winter part of the season, can the players you've got at the moment enhance, especially you're going to lose a player for a month and then potentially injuries as well, because you've suffered major injuries in the last couple of games as well?
Loads of injuries.
Exactly. So you're going to be looking at 12, 13 players potentially being your key point for the next couple of games. It's just, can they make them games in hand count now?
What astounded me was the FA Trophy game between FC United and Witten being moved to Witten's ground. When you consider that Radcliffe, they managed to get their game on Monday night. How on earth did the groundsman manage that? And you've got a League Two ground there where
Swampy will tell you, and I'll agree with him, that pitch wasn't that bad on Saturday and it held the water very well. And I don't mean in a sense of on the top of the surface.
Oh, yeah.
It went down pretty well. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm not going to direct a question to you. I'm just going to let you talk. What do you think of the title race at the moment?
The final result shocked me last night. I still think of Fylde as the favourites to win the league because they've got the financial power. It's the same in all the divisions. It's the team that has got the money that is no doubt going to stay up there. Chorley seem like they're probably spending a little bit of money as well, so I fancy those two to battle out. I still see Fylde as the favourites. They've got a good squad, a lot of goals in the squad, which surprised me that recently they maybe haven't been as scored as many as they potentially could have been. But I think Skem will drop off.
Really?
I do.
Oh, send all your complaints, Skem fans, to Aaron Flanagan at the Evening News. Go on.
No, I moan enough about Skem online, but no, I genuinely do think they will. They will drop off. It's Fylde and Chorley for the title for me, but just Fylde.
We're going to talk to Ian Livesey at the end of this part of the show from Magpie Watch and all things Chorley. But it's interesting you mentioned Fylde's goal scoring, because this ties in quite nicely. They beat Drolsden 10-0. This gives us a good chance to start talking about the relegation zone as well. Drolsden.
I think the guy who was doing the Twitter feed and the guy who was reporting on the game, I mean, it made sort of like national headlines. It was on the Five Live radio show on Saturday with Caroline Barker, and it also obviously was in the Manchester Evening News. They're a team, and I'm sure Ian will probably maybe elaborate a little bit more, because he was lucky enough to have an interview with Dave Pace. I mean, for me, we've said from the onset, a team that changes its players with the regularity of a cabinet shuffle within the Green Party and the Monster Labour Labour Party is not going to be successful. And that was purely directed at him, you see. That's why he's having to go over there. It's unfortunate. We keep saying month in, month out now, a great club, great history, and they've got major financial difficulties. I can't honestly see how changing your team week in, week out can do anything at all. I would make a plea to Dave Pace, and I'll make a plea to Dave Pace now on MPL radio show and the guys from the Evening News as well. But I would say, Dave, bring someone else in, let them manage the team, give yourself a break, or indeed have a settled team. And don't change it through week in, week out with the players you brought. I mean, Alex Mortimer has just joined them from Salford City. Alex was at Mosley. He's joined them. He's bringing in players in there, not journeymen. Well, Alex is actually a journeyman. He's been all over the place. He was an ex-FC United player. He's played for everyone, Borough. Played for everybody. And he's a good player. But the thing is, he may be there for 3 weeks and then he's gone again. And that's not stability. You can't do it.
I mean, but Drolsden are now 15 points from safety.
Yeah, I think the important thing with Drolsden, though, is that they don't pay players anymore. And I think that's contributed widely to the players in and out. And you can't get a settled squad in that way. I think they've been lucky to keep kind of the core three or four. How Dave Pace has kept them three or four motivated is absolutely beyond me. The club are in dire straits. And I had the privilege of speaking to Dave yesterday, as Berkey did on Friday.
Should I get a chair for this? Shall I sit down? Go on, tell us how things are.
Yeah, well, obviously they owe a lot of money. That's the top and bottom of it. He claims it's VAT built up over the clubhouse. I'm not quite sure how he's let it build up to such a considerable amount. I think it was 280 80,000, was it?
80,000, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He says he's paid 190,000 of it. That's what he told me yesterday.
What are your views, Berkey, from a Radio Manchester point of view?
Well, the point Swampy made there was about, well, the suggestion really that Swampy made about Dave Pace stepping down, letting someone else come in to be the manager for a bit. I actually put that to him on Friday, and he said, no, I can't. I can't do that because it's still going to be on my head. And he despite what everyone thinks of Dave Pace, which generally is that he's a megalomaniac, he's not.
He himself, to be honest, doesn't he?
He probably does. He loves Drawsden to the core. He really, really does. And when he's slagging off clubs left, right and centre, I mean, Staley, Bridge and Hyde have had it for years and years and years off him. But when he's been delivering these barbs, he's always said it with a big cheesy grin on his face. He loves playing the panto villain. He really does. And when he was in the studio on Friday, he looked a broken man with it. He was absolutely gutted. It was the first time I've not seen him smile.
Draws are in that position, where you've mentioned there that they can't be paid. The players aren't being paid at this moment in time. But let's not forget there are plenty of football teams that, you know, players aren't being paid. They've got other jobs as well. I think this reliance on having to play semi-professional footballers at this level, a wage sometimes is wrong. I'd like Dave to try and concentrate perhaps on saving the football club. Bring somebody in, because they're relegated anyway. But try and take that burden off his shoulders of trying to save the football club, because it is a great institution. The Bloods are a team that have been around. It's a great ground to play at. And it's part of a community that should all get behind them as well, let's not forget, because, you know, they need the local community to come in there and help in that regard. But they need, I believe, Dave to concentrate on off-the-field matters and let someone come in and do it on his behalf.
The only problem there is I don't think he'd trust anyone else to do it. And when he first took over as chairman, I think he had 15 managers in about 3 years before he decided to take over the reins.
Well, that might say a lot, though, mightn't it? It might say a lot about perhaps the way Dave wants to run things.
A team also down there, Stafford Rangers, 9 points from safety at the moment.
Yeah, a couple of fans are starting to say things on Facebook saying the team's not good enough and they're starting to struggle, and you can see where it is that they're struggling. They're starting to lose games as big as draws, and obviously not 10-0s, but they're starting to lose 4-5s, especially to teams that was just flicked.
I mean, they had a peak when they got a new manager in, which is always the case, a bit of a bounce, and now it's as you were,
but again, you never know if the manager's trying to change things at the moment in time. Other clubs are starting to see that and reacting to it. It's still that period of uncertainty. You got a month or two, and then that's when you can see the true form.
A bit higher up, you got Stocksbridge. You were also rallied a bit this month. They had a couple of good results from
a couple of good results, but the thing, the key play, you need to keep hold of that Nathan Joyce.
You are right in regards to keeping Nathan Joyce at Stocksbridge Park. Still, I mean, he played against FC United. He was integral in that team. He's scored 13 goals this season. He's a good quality footballer. You know, Stocksbridge. The problem with Stocksbridge, you look at the league form. They've had two tremendous results recently, beating Buxton away, scoring in the 14th minute, and then actually holding on. Is that, for me, was the game of the weekend when they did that? Because, you know, they've been conceding for fun, as we know, nearly 55 goals, something like that, in that region this season. But they've got to hold on to the surplus. But the problem with Stockbridge have got is they've played 18 games.
Yes, that is true.
Barwell have played 18 games. There's a lot of teams that are sort of like in the lower half that have played a lot of games. And equally, there are teams that are in the top five at the moment that have played 18 or 19 games. Well, 18 games is the maximum anyone's played. I fear very much for Stocksbridge Park Steelers. If they lose the likes of a goal-scoring player like Nathan Joynes, then they are really going to suffer. And I would predict that they will go down if they lose someone like him, because as much as they're conceding, at least he's scoring. The one thing that they do have there, though, is they've got great team morale. They've got a great football club around them. They've got great people around them. It's a lovely... We've been there many times. It's a great, great footballing club.
Lovely view.
A beautiful view. Lovely. One of the best views in football. The downside is that if they go down, they will find it very hard to bounce back up, I think. I would hope they would stay up, and that's not the detriment of any of the football club. It's just, you know, might not be able to do that at the lower leagues.
One team that I do not want to see relegated now is Stamford. And the reason being, and I'm going to tap it right now, Stamper, thank you very much. It arrived. You put a shout out a call out, didn't you, to MPL show listeners?
I did indeed.
And I said, don't be so crazy, that's not going to work. And look!
We've got something. And I didn't realise it was from Stampy.
It's from Stampy, yes.
It's from Stampy. Shall we open it?
Oh, fantastic.
We need some form of...
Anyway, while Swampy's opening that, it's time for a quick break. Up next...
Hold on, you need some...
Yeah, yeah. We can do sound effects, don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
right. Drinking glasses and all that. Right, so up next is an interview I conducted with...
Got it! Oh, look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. Stamford Ale. Hanson Field. It's got a football in it and everything, and it's in some form of condom. It's a giant condom.
Right.
We're going to drink that. And so, come back, aren't we?
Yeah, so
it's
now time for a break.
Oh dear, no.
I'm turning you down.
Loads of little stampies.
Up next is an interview I conducted with Ian Livesey of Magpie Watch. Good friend of the old show.
Yes.
So we discussed Charlie, who were MPL Premier Division Team of the Month for October. So over to me interviewing Ian Livesey. Right, well, we're now joined by Ian Livesey, all the way from Charlie and all the way from Magpie Watch.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm not so bad, thank you. We brought you on. I think this is the first time, your debut on this new version of the MPL show.
Yeah, I've been listening the past few times. It's really good. It's a really good listen.
We got you on anyway, because congratulations to your club, Charlie. One team of the month for the Premier Division.
Yeah, and probably more remarkably, we've won it with all the games in October have been away.
Yes. So I mean, yeah, I was not critical of you in September's MPL, but I was saying that you're plodding along, not doing anything fancy. But everyone around the table quite rightly said, that's how you win leagues. Has that been the case, or have you now started to set the league alight the last few weeks?
I think we've been quietly going on with our job at the moment. I mean, we're third in the league now. We've a couple of games in hand over the top two. You know, we've only lost one, and that was on the road at Skelmersdale United in last minute. So I think we're doing all right. I think so far we've won Club of the Month in October. With all five games coming away, with four wins and a draw. So I think there's a couple of goals conceded, and that were just your silly mistakes. But
how's Flick? How do you think Flitcroft is? What's the secret of Flitcroft this season? Because last season you were a bit underachieving. This season, as you say, you're third, got games in hand over the other two, motoring along quite nicely. What's changed at Charlie other than Carlos Rocca?
Oh wow! I think Gary's doing really well at the moment. The club, the town's buzzing. Just a club, well, like I say, is buzzing as well. But first home game tomorrow for six weeks. So forget where the blooming club is, to be honest, after all that time, even though I live just a minute away from the club. But, you know.
Six away games is a bit much, but it's just one of them things, wasn't it?
I think somebody worked it out that we've done like 1,500 miles since our last home game, which is a truly phenomenal amount of distance. You know, I could go to south of Spain for that distance.
Hey, at least you're not playing 15 games in the FA Trophy this season. All in one round.
I read about that.
Yeah. So what is the secret? What's been the changes that have happened since last season to get you propelled up this far up the league?
I think retaining the best players from last season has probably been the better thing. Josh Hine has come in from Skelmersdale United, and he's been on the score sheet every other game, pretty much. Jake Cottrell, who you two know about, and Swampy and Ben, you two, has done pretty well at the club. He's probably been one of the best players this season so far. And Darren Stevenson's back to scoring goals. You know, he's one of the top scorers in the league so far. So he's really kept the best players from last season and just added to them, just made little tweaks. I mean, he's not done anything different tactics-wise or anything, but it seems to be working, and it seems to be doing all right.
This title picture's shaping up quite nicely. Skelmersdale probably the surprise package, although people in the know don't think it is. But you and Fylde perhaps were the favourites for the league this season. How do you think it's going to pan out with you three?
As I say, when they do lose, they do slip up a little bit. But Fylde, I think, with us and possibly Matlock Town, who we're playing tomorrow, might have a say in things. I mean, Skem, to be fair to them, they only beat us in the last minute of the game at Skem last month.
Yeah.
Not last month, month before. But I think, us and Fylde, I think, will be toe-to-toe come the end of the season. Might only be a couple of points separating it at the end of the season. Right?
And we've got the Dudeson coming up. In this show, we're previewing the Dudeson. Are you up for the Dudeson this year, Ian?
Well, personally, not really.
That's the spirit.
Well, gotta be honest. Yeah, we're playing Kendall Town in it away, which, you know, Kendall Town is a very nice place to go to.
Nice pies.
Some great friends there, and the only problem is it's a Tuesday night, and the weather will probably be pants really. But,
yes.
You know, I think. Well, whatever. I mean, it's going to play fringe players like Gary always does. I mean, we lost to Camel Lurd at the same stage last season.
Yeah.
We weren't really too fussed about it, you know, not taking anything from their victory. But Kendall Town, you know, away, I think might just give the fringe players a little bit of a run out on the night.
And the FA Trophy, you're lucky enough to now be in the third qualifying round. Some clubs can only dream of that. Still in the first time of recording. what about the FA Trophy this year? Are you going to make the first round proper, do you think?
Had a couple of games in hand already. As I say, Whitby Town, we won by 1-0 all that way. And then we had a long, 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 long trip on Saturday to Soham Town.
Right.
Which is Cambridgeshire, which is 200-odd miles away. Just one way, that. But we won there again by the odd goal. So we're not like setting it alight, but I think we're doing our job quietly, confidently.
Steady as she goes. That's what wins leagues and wins trophies, apparently. I've forgotten what that's about, you see. So what about the future for Charlie? You've got this set up there at Victory Park. What do you think for the coming few years then? Where do you think you should be, and where do you think you're going to be?
Next 5 years, I would probably, hopefully, like to say we'd be in the Conference North at least. Whether it be next year or the year after, you know, we'll get filed out of the way, I think. Cool. I think. But it'll be Conference North, I would think.
Okay. Well, Ian, thank you very much for joining us. Don't be a stranger. Come on whenever you want.
Yeah, and, I'll have to come down one night whenever you do it on a Thursday and join in with the panel.
Do you want to give a plug to Magpie Watch?
Magpie Watch is an online commentary service, every Chorley game. So if your team is playing Chorley, chances are I'll be sat in your press box chunnering away to myself with my little headset on.
Unless it's Bradford Park Avenue, of course.
And then we can find any plug. That can be found at magpiewatch.co.uk as well.
Nice one, Ian. And thanks for joining us on the MPL show.
Cheers, Ben. Nice all the one, best. Mate. Thank you.
See you soon.
So welcome back to part two here of the MPL show. Recorded live at the Magnet. It's Wednesday the 6th of November, and for transparency reasons, it's 17 minutes past 8. Right, welcome to the Magnet, and I'm joined round the table by James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
Hello.
Which you can see, read and behold at
facebook.com/groups/MPL.
It's getting better, isn't it? We've got Berkey from BBC Radio Manchester.
Hello.
We've got Aaron Flanagan, new to the show, from the Evening News.
Thank you very much. Hello.
And we've got Swamper. And, more importantly, do you want to say hello first?
No.
Okay. More importantly, we've got a drink all the way from Stamford. We've opened it during that interview with Ian.
Let's all sample.
So,
cheers.
Stamper.
Cheers.
Oh, there's a fist to that, isn't there?
That's not a bad...
That's good,
that.
It's not bad at all.
Nice. Caramel.
Yes.
Shall I read the back? See what it says, what it actually tells us?
I've become a right beer geek recently, so, you know.
This is a Hansen's Fine Field. Is a fine, flavoured and well-balanced full-strength beer. A flavoured and balance of distinct hot bitterness and a natural malty sweetness. A perfect complement to our fine English roast and the traditional cheers. Cheeses, not cheers. Traditional cheeses.
I can imagine it with a chutney.
Anyway.
Truly measured masterpiece. Well,
Swamper, for the next month's show.
It's the Rutland Brewing Company, by the way.
You'll appreciate it. Well done, Rutland.
Well done, Rutland, yes.
I thought that was fictional. It's not, is it?
What, Rutland?
Yeah.
Have you ever tasted Rutland's County?
It's a joke.
Oh, what a beer. No, it's not a joke.
So,
Salford. You haven't a clue what's going on, have you?
So for next month's show, where do people send their beer from their town to?
Well, they send it to, and I can give you the exact address, it is the Northern Premier League Podcast, care of the Magnet Pub, 51 Wellington Road North, Stockport, SK41HJ.
Unlike in the league, Stamford are out on top, winning in the MPL show beer challenge.
They certainly
are. We'll only accept beers that have the name of your side on.
No, he won't.
Or your town. From your town.
Don't be so stupid. We'll accept any beer.
Yeah, just to make this podcast nice and clear, I have got an Aussie with me as well, so.
I'm back on the Buxton.
Right, no, it's run out.
No, there's a Buxton bitter come back on.
Oh, I see, right.
But we're on something else at the moment, aren't we? What anyway. Are we on?
Angel.
Angel. Angel.
I'm going to drag this kicking and screaming back to football.
John Alcock must be loving listening to this show.
Right, so who's John Alcock? You mean Alan Alcock?
No, John. He's a mate of mine. He's Alan.
So, it's part two. This week, this month, part two is sponsored by Dudeson. And also the FA Trophy. In the FA Trophy, it'd be right of us, I think, to start with the farce that was the Witten FC United fixtures. Other than me and Swampy, are we aware of what happened here?
I know of one of them.
Okay. You know one of the fixtures, obviously, with your Radcliffe Borough connections. What, from an outsider's perspective, looking in, what do you make of it all, these postponements and everything that was going on? Berke?
Well, what I make of it is that we should have summer football, because then you wouldn't have this caper at all.
Swampy, you're clapping.
Absolutely, 100% agree with Berke.
You're clapping, but you like rugby league. That means rugby league would have to switch back to winter.
No, it wouldn't.
I agree with him, and I'm hoping he's going to come up with the kind of reasons I do.
Well, there's no good reason not to have it in the summer for a kickoff. But first of all, I mean, football only started playing off in the winter because it was something for cricketers to do while there was no cricket in the winter. So they played up through all the snow and the horrors of the Victorian winter, and they just carried on like that for some reason. They just, for some reason, decided not to clash with the cricket too much. And they're completely different sports these days. Play by completely different people. And God, yeah,
you say that, Berke, but what would Stocksbridge do in that situation?
Well, they'd might have to get their own ground.
You know?
And Ramsbottom as well. Although, I've been at Ramsbottom when they've had a cricket match going on just over the way there, and it's been great watching two games at once.
It's always good, isn't it? Having something other than the football to watch is always a great thing, I believe.
Anyway, for the rest of the FA Trophy, obviously, Witten beat FC United last night.
Is that it? That's all we're going to talk about?
Yeah, that's in. Oh, that's FA Trophy.
That's going on to your podcast later on, though.
But it's good news for Witten, but more importantly, good news for Leek as well, because Leek now have a fixture in the FA Trophy, and they're playing Witten to go through to the third qualifying round against Brackley Town. On Saturday, the 16th of November, there's some big games in the FA Trophy involving NPL sides. Chorley are playing Matlock Town. Matlock Town, one of the surprise packages of this year. How do you think that's going to pan out, Aaron? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, Chorley beat them not too long ago, I believe, didn't they? And I think it'll be the same again. Listen, Matlock have been a surprise. Surprises never last.
Oh,
James Griffiths.
I'd like to say that surprises do last, although this season we've reverted to type.
And while we're covering the FA Trophy, Curzon Connections, obviously, Curzon are playing Fylde. Boom.
Great draw. Say it's a bit of a grudge match for us because they pipped us to the league title 2 years ago. They went on an incredible run near the end of the season. And now it's our chance for a little bit of revenge. We've got them at home. I think we'll give them a good game. Whether we'll beat them, I don't know, but we'll give them a good game, that's for sure.
Have you got something to say on this?
Go back to Matlock, really, to be honest. I think Matlock are a team that I think can do quite well in the trophy. I think they've got good quality players in there. They're settling down into the league. They're doing reasonably well. Cup runs are always great. A great distraction from the football, the league itself, and I fancy them to do quite well, to be honest. I mean, I'd like to go back though to there was an article written in the NPL paper on Sunday in regards to the lack of quality from this division and the Northern divisions in general.
Yes, the FA Cup was a bit of a dance with this year.
The point I'm going to make here is because it's regionalised. There are a lot of very, very good football teams in the north, and I'm not going to disparaging about the south, But I don't think there is. I don't think the southern divisions are as good as the northern divisions. I really don't believe that for a minute. If you look statistically at the way football in general has gone over the last 25, 30 years, it's northern teams have won the Premiership, won the Football League, and I think that's very similar in semi-professional football. The trophy is won primarily by teams from the northeast of England, and to suggest that the lack of quality in the north opposed to the south because of the FA Cup, I think it's a misnomer, because they play against teams against themselves that I don't think, if you pair them against our teams, I think the north would actually come out a better.
This is a 500 listeners at home, get up and applaud.
And I raise and charge my glass to the regiment. I wish I was there.
This is an absolute fluke season. Greater Manchester, well, the region I cover basically, which is Greater Manchester and a bit of Cheshire. For the first time I can remember, they've only got one team through to the first round proper of the FA Cup. That's Macclesfield. It's amazing, this. I've never known anything like it. But, you know, it's just a fluke. That's all. Next season, things will be reset. Back to normal.
Someone was telling me that because of the amount of northern teams compared to the amount of southern teams, the northern teams actually go into the FA Cup a couple of rounds earlier and are more likely to draw each other because it's regionalised and knock each other out. So the northern teams are always kind of a hindrance anyway. To push through. I think like the Division 1 North teams of the Ebo Stick going around earlier than, say, like the Southern Premier League, South and West Division, whatever it's called.
Everyone's in the same
spot. Simply because there's not as many northern teams and there's not much we can do about it. But you're always going to have less.
We could march on London and sort it out.
I'm going to elaborate on what Aaron said there, because with the FA Trophy, exactly the same. The regionalisation means everyone in the First Division North plays each other practically in the first round regardless, because it's all the same division. So First Division North have got to stand up and play each other.
A classic example is the Witches of Cheshire. Exactly. Out. The amount of times supporters go to the wrong Witch and head off to Northwich to the Nantwich. But Northwich Vicks are playing Nantwich.
That's a fantastic tie, that, because Northwich are on the form at the moment. When we get to the First Division run on North, I'll elaborate a bit more. And that way, to one of the teams that seems to be struggling a lot as well. So that's going to be, I can see that going to a replay.
Well, Aaron Burns is top goal scorer.
The question is, but do Northwich actually exist?
Well, I've not clarified which. It's
which?
Northwich.
Ah! Which?
Yes. But Aaron Burns is scoring for a bit of a laugh, isn't he? It's 14 goals. In
well, Aaron Burns has got quality about him. I mean, you know, he was at Manchester United as a young lad. He was the top goal scorer within the reserve team. He was due a move to Cardiff City, if memory serves me right, although they've probably changed the name by now and put in a different coloured kit and have a different badge on the shirt. However, that never came off for him, and he joined FC United. He scored goals there. Left, went to Ashton United, been to another few clubs. He'll score goals week in, week out. He's a lad's quality. Give him service, and that's what he requires. You give him service, he will score goals for fun.
Elsewhere in the trophy, there's some ties involving MPL and Conference North sides, just to keep the North going together for a bit longer. Solihull Moors are playing Colville Town, who were Club of the Month, I believe, for October.
Well, Solihull will smash them to pieces. I mean, the joint top party of the Conference North. I mean, they're having a season from the gods. I mean, normally they're sort of struggling around the bottom third.
They're on a bit of a good run, though, at the minute.
Yeah, but Solihull are on a really good run.
Okay, well, I can't top that. And Worcester City, also the Conference North, they're hosting Ramsbottom United.
Ramit will win that, no problem. 2-0, 2-1, something like that. Worcester, they're struggling, they're playing away from home every game this season, they're sharing Agbro with Kidderminster Harriers. They're just having a really, really tough time of things at the minute. And Ramsbottom, they're my favourite team in the world at the minute. I just love the way they play.
You look tank up.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, Danny Warren, man of the match of the weekend, and you know, doing really, really well there for the football team. And I mean, they're struggling in the league to a degree, but equally, they've got pedigree there, and they're a team that, again, may be in that false position currently. Yeah. But, you know, as we say,
well, they were Team of the Month in Division 1 North as well.
But the thing is, what you can see there is that that teams that come up are struggled to a degree, but they play good football, and they're a team that I can see also, you know, doing quite well in this division this season.
They were so unlucky last season not to be in the playoffs.
They deserve to be in it last year. At the moment, they are the form team in the division. Yes. What happened at the start of the season is beyond anyone. It's the same squad. If anything, they've strengthened. Mm-hmm. They're a fantastic squad. They're just going to go straight up the division now. I still think they'll make the playoffs. And I agree with Berkey. Worcester is a great tie for them, because it's another chance for another big upset like they had last week.
The one thing that's really good about actually winning the team of the month is that the position they're in. It just goes to prove that you don't actually have to be the very top of the division to win this, because they've struggled from the very beginning of the season. They've done really, really well in the last month, and they've got to a stage. I mean, look at the goalkeeper Shentz. You know, he's got three or four broken bones in his ankle. He found out he'd been playing for 6 months. He didn't even know about it. The doctor also says, by the way, you've got arthritis in your left knee. You know, and he's just been playing through it. You know, and he's a top quality goalkeeper. And it's nice to see a team like that doing well. And I believe what you say, that they will beat Worcester. They'll go on, and that run for me, if they can keep going and going and going, they may even get to a stage where we see them on the television. You know, they could be that surprise package this season from the divisions that we're talking about tonight.
At time of recording, I've written in my little notes here that Sheffield FC are hosting Buxton. But breaking news, which if you listen to the show, broke 2 days ago. What was it?
7:40 p.m. The game was called off.
So
yes, again,
with the Bennett Radcliffe. So that game's going to
play in Witten.
That tie's going to continue. The winners will host Gresley FC, and in the other, there's another second round replay also taking place tonight. Cambridge City are playing Scarborough Athletic. So that's
come on, Scarborough.
Yeah, come on, Scarborough. So
yeah, definitely come on, Scarborough.
Are we going to see a good run in the trophy this year from an NPL side after the disappointing runs in the FA Cup?
We've got five teams left, I can't see why not.
Okay.
Northwich, they got to the quarterfinals a couple of seasons back.
We've also got, starting next week, the return of the Dudeson. Who's with me? High fives? No?
Yeah, yeah.
So, we made the final last year.
Exactly.
It was a superb day out. We got there on a technicality. Sorry, Witten.
Was that the team that, hold on, Witten, that beat us 4-3 but played an illegible player, that therefore, yeah, but we didn't go through even though they played an illegible player?
God. Yeah,
that was last season.
It's because they played now. You've got to appeal it in a certain amount of time. The rules are there, they're on paper.
Aaron, what he has to do is get over it. That's what he has
exactly,
to do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to point out as well, though, what happened in the President's Cup a few years ago, but he was against Nantwich and made the final.
Now,
what a beautiful night.
The Dudeson involves all 68 clubs in the NPL league, and there's a whole heap of ties taking place. Looking at the list, has any tie jumped out at you straight away?
No. So I wouldn't cross the street to go and watch a Dudeson Cup game. I just don't care about
Berkey's
league cup
views,
things.
Berkey's views are not the views of the NPL show. They're the views of Hyde FC.
I actually think, I'll let you come in.
Actually. No, go on.
I actually think it's a great competition. I really do. I think all cup competitions, you know, are worthy of trying to get a bit of silverware. I mean, Hyde haven't had any for a long time, and I can understand Berkey shaking his head now, going, "No, it's not worth it." You may well be there in the next 2 years if you where you're carrying on.
But I still wouldn't go.
You'd go to Frickley away, of course you would. Everyone on the Tuesday night wants to go to Frickley.
No, I'm going through the list and I've gone.
Well, see, can I just agree with Swampy on that one? It is a great competition.
Yeah, it is.
And all right, the first few rounds are a little bit touch and go. Everyone plays the reserves. They're not that entertaining. So the ties we're going to get next week are absolutely awful.
Oh, come on, Aaron, build it up.
They're not great football. But when you get, if you have a couple of weeks, like Curzon went on the run last year, where we knocked out Kendall. We knocked out Kendall, we knocked out Nantwich, we knocked out Matlock. We beat three Premier Division teams, and what it did for team morale at the time when we were struggling was massive. And it is a really good competitive competition when you eventually get to that stage.
I mean, I think the change in the format's done something to it as well. Instead of the Premier League sides going through January straight away, coming into the first round gives a chance to some of them teams who might not want to take it seriously, drop out early on, leave the teams that want to make it a bit more of a spectacle and have go out fighting all season long, let them compete later on in the season.
I mean, that means, for example, Kendal Town, who are hosting Chorley, I've got a good shout. Mosler, I've got AFC Fylde, certainly got a good chance of winning that one, you'd imagine, at Mosler. And Prescott Cables are playing Skelmersdale United.
Drolsden might win a game.
And Drolsden might win a game. The one thing to think
about this as well is that it gives those teams that have got maybe an opportunity, an idea of maybe getting promoted, to pit the wits against higher opposition. And also, from a fan's perspective, and, you know, it gives there's more games. You get to watch more football. Exactly. So what could be wrong with watching more football? No, surely nothing.
In a recession as well. Right, okay.
There is one game that stands out a bit for me, and it's a bit from the left field, this. Salford City versus Camel Laird. Salford, they just signed half a dozen new players, so it's not going to be a case from bringing in the reserves to have a few, you know, new faces. They're actually going to have new first-team faces.
You've got the likes of Dave Chadwick there. You've got the likes of Richard Smith, ex-FC United of Manchester. Went out on loan at Stockport Sports, does rejoin now Salford City. You've got the Fitzgerald, who's at FC United of Manchester. The Armies have brought seven new players in, and they're looking to change their fortunes around a little bit because they've not been doing too well. But you're dead right, you know, it gives an opportunity. It's a good call. That's going to be a good game. Camel Laird, a decent team, they've been spanking some teams and then, you know, suffering themselves. But Salford City, same division, you know, them two teams working against each other. It'd be a good game of football.
We've just mentioned Prescott Cables and Skelmersdale United.
Great stand.
But there's also next
marvellous stand. The best.
Good view of the Safari Park. But there's also.
Look at them giraffes looking over there. They get free entry then. Them giraffes, they look over going, oh no. And if you notice, they always turn the backs.
There's a game up north. There's a game up north which we do have to highlight in the Dudeson, which is Darlington 1883 against Blythe Spartans.
Oh,
beautiful.
Did everyone miss that? See
everyone? No.
This presenter, finger on pulse. Yeah.
No, you got it in front of you.
Yeah, but you.
Us two knew about it. All up there. Me and Tony Adley. Up there.
I'll have my mobile phone set.
what were you saying then?
I'll say it's a great competition for like derbies as well, because regionalisation in a couple of rounds means there's more of a chance you're going to get derby. If it's not on a Champions League night, the crowds are going to come in. I mean, if you look at the other derbies during that round, you've got Ratcliffe Borough against Clitheroe, Ramsbottom against FC United, which technically is a derby for the time being.
We have thousands of them. It seems.
Lancaster Bamber Bridge, Mickle over Matlock, if you can call that one.
Maybe not far.
Yeah. Grantham Bedworth, Kendall Charlie. And I say the number of ties there that if you look at a league fixture, you could call a derby. It's not exactly.
I honestly believe. I mean, you know, let's forget what Ian has to say earlier on about this competition, because he doesn't involve him anyway. In all fairness, it may well do. And when in 2 years' time, if we're still doing this show, we're all still in the same division. Here we go. It's a great competition. Oh, we've got a local derby against. It's a good competition. It's, you know, the likes of the Darlington Blythe. I would love to be up to watch that game.
That is the end of part two. In the break, we've got a news and brief section where we'll be talking about two football grounds which might be built very soon, and some other news as well.
FC United of Manchester have announced that building work on their new ground will start this month. The news follows the signing of a lease between FC United and Manchester City Council, and is the confirmation of all funding for the £5.5 million project, which includes sports and other community facilities, as well as a new stadium. The Premier Division clubs say work will start on the site at Ronald Johnson Playing Fields in Moston in early November, and is expected to take around 40 weeks, with a projected completion date of August 2014. In other ground building news, AFC Fylde have submitted ambitious plans to build an £18 million dream home to their local authority. Officials at the Premier Division Coasters have announced that they have now formally submitted their vision for the Mill Farm Sports Village in Kirkham, a state-of-the-art project that will bring hundreds of new jobs to the Fylde coast. The application is likely to be considered by Fylde councillors later this year. If it gets the go-ahead, the Coasters say the first phase could be completed by September 2014. Elsewhere, Buxton have rewarded their manager Martin McIntosh with a new contract for turning around the Derbyshire club's fortunes over the past year. Buxton hope the new contract will keep the 42-year-old former Tottenham youth player in the Silverlands hot seat until the end of the 2015-16 campaign. After winning 10 of his first 13 in charge to rescue the Bucks from almost certain relegation, he led the side to the Derbyshire Senior Cup and last season to the fringes of the Premier Division playoffs. Movember is well and truly underway in the MPL. Players, fans and officials from Blythe Spartans, Ilkeston FC and Warrington Town helped individual and fan groups add nearly £700 to the running total of combined fundraising across the league. The fan-run MPL group's final tally across the league last year added up to more than £20,000. To help outstrip that figure this time round, organisers want any groups or individuals connected to the league to sign up to the dedicated page they've set up on the official Movember website. To join the MPL Facebook group's Movember Appeal, please visit, and get a pen ready people, www.uk.movember.com mospace.mospace.view/view/id/29761. This is a podcast, so you can rewind that bit. And finally, the MPL show salutes Vice President of Burscough, Ellen Baybutt, who sadly passed away last month. The lifelong Linnet supporter was born a year after Burscough was founded in 1905 and lived at a nearby care home after spending the first 99 years of her life at her home opposite Burscough's Victoria Park. She was an avid fan and volunteer at the First Division North Club, but she passed away last month at the age of 106. Miss Baybutt was made Vice President for Life at Burscough in the year 2000.
Welcome back to part number three of the FPL show here live from the Magnets. We've got a selection of the great and good of non-league football around the table, none of whom are players. We've got Swampy from FC United. Hello, Swampy.
Good evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
We've got Burke from BBC Radio Manchester.
Evening all.
And we've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which
evening.
You can get in contact with at
facebook.com/groups/MPL.
Or on Twitter, of course.
Yeah, at the MPL group.
Good. And we've asked for correspondence tonight.
Yeah.
Have they just ploughed in?
They've ploughed in tonight because the subject was about the Dootson Cup. The question is it Marmite for you? In other words, do you love it or do you hate it? And also, what do you think of the new format to it? Comments that are in. I'll start with Michael Flynn. The Dootson Sports Cup is a pile of rubbish that just needs adds needless fixtures to the calendar. Andrew Snaith, who's a Whitby Town fan. Fair enough. I actually don't mind it. It's a rare chance for silverware for our team. Darren Mellor, he's a Mosley fan. If we do have to play in the League Cup, and we're doubtful that we need one, games should be played as early a season as possible, which I must just say, they made it as plus.
That's not his tweet, by the way, that's you adding on.
Extra. Yeah, that's, okay. I'm adding a bit on just to say, Mosley are not out in September, so they can't really say much. Ian Garnett, I like it for the reason that I can hopefully tick new grounds off, that wouldn't get him in the same league. Oliver Newell, I don't mind it as well, because of the playoff final, he's a Curzon Ashton fan. And obviously Curzon is still flying. Mm. And I've got one from Alan Alcock.
Alan Alcock, everyone stand up.
Yeah, Alan Alcock saying...
to the regiment!
Yes.
I wish I was there.
Post-punt cup games are a real pain in the backside.
I bet they are. I bet they are. So that's the correspondence that's come in. So it's now time to turn our eyes to the second tier of the Northern Premier League. Let's start off with Division 1 South. Breaking news. Leeds Town lost. Who knew? They went 13 games unbeaten. I'm looking for anyone who knows anything about Division 1 South. Anyone?
Scarborough in it.
Now, there's a person new to the show who sat where Roy Sully sat. The reason why Roy Sully's so good is that I can go, Division 1 South, Roy, talk. And he can talk. Aaron Flanagan stuck his hand in the air and went, I have a point to make.
No, it was actually... I actually watched the Division 1 South game last week. Last week, I went and did it. No, I watched Kids Grove against Micklover.
What was it like?
It was awful.
Okay, right.
I'm on the chair with Kids Grove.
No, can I... Oh, that's really helped. That's really helped, that. Who'd have thought someone from the MEN would have said something like that, eh?
Coming back to my point, it wasn't particularly awful. I think it's just something's got to be said about Kidsgrove. They are a club struggling,
right?
As the league position really says so. They were wearing a kit that I think was 4 years old, and you could tell it because it had the old, you know, badges on the sleeves.
Kidsgrove is Cheshire, isn't it?
Going to like Stoke Way.
So it's part of your remit as the Evening News.
No, it's not.
So you just went out of.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you. Look at this, the league enthusiast. You should all try it. But anyway.
What they've done is they've struggled at home. They've drawn five at home this season already. They've only won one, they've drawn two. And they've won one, they've lost two, and they've drawn five. They find themselves 9 points out of the division.
The team of the month in Division 1 South was Colville Town. Roy Sewell said Colville were going to challenge this year, and lo and behold, they go on a mighty run. They beat Stafford Rangers in the trophy. They beat Belper Town, 1-0 away from home. They beat Rainsford 4-1, Eastwood 5-2. So they're doing quite well. Only demolished Bedworth 6-1. So keep your eye on Colville. Leek Town, I think that's the curse of the NPL show. We spoke to Lee Caswell on the show last month, and clearly we jinxed it.
But there's still 6 points clear. Yeah. You know, they've got they play 15 games, they're scoring goals. They were beaten, as you say, by Sutton Coldfield, but that, I think that was a blip for them. I mean, the one thing about Coldfield is going back to them. They do have money at Coldfield. There is a bit of money around there, I'm led to believe. And I'm sure if a Coldfield fan or the chairman or whoever wants to come on, say to the contrary, that's fine. But they do have a little bit of money about them.
Off the pitch, there's been trouble with a Division One South club over the last few weeks or so. Eastwood Town. Mm. The chairman released a statement in the past couple of days, Steve Lynch, which basically says it's an admin error at the HRMC. It'll all be fine. So hopefully it'll all be fine, because I mean, it's a lot of money we're talking about.
It's £168,000, isn't it?
Yes, it's £168,000, Swamper. Tell us more.
Well,
brilliant.
Things started going south for them, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago. They were going to be in the playoffs for the Conference North, going up into the Conference, but then the powers that be said, oh, well, we're sorry, you can't go into the Conference because your ground's not good enough. Rob Young, who was the owner at the time, said, oh, sod this for a game of soldiers, I'm not having this. I'm not going to plough any more money into a club, it's basically a dead end. So he pulled out, and, well, the money went, the team went, and, well, the results went as well.
To be, the lead, you spoke to Dave Waters on Saturday, obviously, with the non-league show. The league's taken a good approach with this, haven't they? They basically said, we can't play any fixtures, so we're going to put off the fixtures for a bit.
The fixtures have been chopping and changing, and I think you've got to be realistic. You've got to make sure that, I mean, the one thing you've got to be wary of is that if teams are in this position and you allow them to play, and then teams get results against them, they get nil and void.
Exactly.
Afterwards, so I think they're taking the right kind of approach. It's always a great shame to see a football club go into the war to a certain degree.
The good news is that, as of recording this on Wednesday, currently the scheduled match on Saturday against Belper Town, Eastwood Town against Belper Town, is going ahead.
It is, yeah. That's,
so
that
it,
is
it,
right,
looks,
yeah.
It looks like perhaps there's light there.
I always find it quite... No, I find it upsetting. For the footballing prowess on the football field can get to a certain place in football, and then the Conference come along and they turn around and say, your ground's not good enough. I think this is so stringent on semi-professional football clubs to have to get to a certain grading in order to be able to get to that echelon that they might never get to on the off chance that they do. And it costs them money. That football club then ends up in debt.
Eastwood were unsustainable in the first place, though. They were being bankrolled there in the first place, and it weren't growing organically, if you like. I mean, I suppose...
But how many football clubs do grow organically?
Well, look at Warrington now. They're not doing it organically, are they? But they've got a lot of money behind them. They're going to be getting a new stadium, which is built with the Conference and the Football League in mind.
And also with the fact that the council are getting involved, and they're going to have a new move nowhere, miles away from where they actually originally are. Now, I mean, I played at that ground with our youth team, and I see where you're coming from, Berkey, and I can see him, the right hand side, with his hand up in the air waving furiously.
Then it's a perfect segue. Division 1 North, right? I'm just making sure that you don't jump off the cliff Thelma and Louise style. We've got a good segue here. We should take advantage of it.
Would you be Thelma or would you be Louise?
I'd be the car. Right, so
I'd be the gear stick.
Division 1 North, we've discussed Ramsbottom. They're the team of the month. They've done remarkable.
Is that the South finish with then?
Eh?
Well,
so we covered Ramsbottom, who were team of the month. Congratulations to them. They've done very well.
Go on, Ram.
Well done, Rammy. Well done. But we mentioned, incidentally, Ramsbottom beat Warrington Town in the FA Trophy, which was quite a result. At time of recording, Warrington Town are top. Same number of points as Curzon. I'm looking at Aaron here. Curzon have 3 games in hand on them.
It's looking good, isn't it? No, and I say it's looking good, and it's a point I made to you earlier, that we're not getting carried away, because we went a ridiculous amount of games unbeaten 2 seasons ago, finished second, messed up in the playoff final, and we're still struggling in the same division. It's by no means done. Warrington are spending a lot of money.
They want to be in the Football League very soon, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In less years than it would actually take them to get there if they won every single division on the way.
People who know me will know that I criticise Warrington a fair bit, but fair play to them for having the ambition and going for it, and the investors in the back are actually backing them up with it, and putting a lot, putting good money, and they're making good signings.
There's a question in all that, and I know what you're saying about big money, because they're not playing big money, they're paying astronomical money. They're paying money that teams in our division, and maybe even teams in the division above us, aren't necessarily playing, and even maybe above that as well. And you know, I would like to see some form of cap, personally,
in
the lower divisions, because I don't see the fair advantage of somebody coming in for maybe 2 or 3 years and being allowed to ride roughshod over teams that have been in that division for many, many years in order for them to get to where they are, and then it dies and they all go back.
You can't put a cap on it. Simple as, we're in a stage of football where so many teams are going bust, dropping out or anything. It's these teams like Warrington with the ambition that are the kind of the bright sparks of non-league football at the moment, because they've actually got the ambition to go up. Look at Fleetwood, they did it. All right, they spent astronomical money as well, but they went and did it. If you put a cap on that, we don't get our non-league teams and the teams from our division.
I get the impression as well with Warrington Town that there's a lot of backing there from civic leaders and local business as well. It's not just like a sugar daddy thing.
No. They've got a good sponsorship deal, really well thought through, a load of money coming. They've got sensible people behind the scenes, wealthy people behind the scenes, but sensible as well. And at the moment, the business plan actually seems quite stable.
Down at the lower end, what happened with Salford City?
But the league at the moment is like a nice little form league. The teams that you've got to be having a bit of a good run to be competing. Otherwise, you start losing games, it's only 2 or 3 on the trot, and you're going to be back down there. That's sometimes something. If you look at the place between the playoffs and the relegation spaces at the moment, it's about 12 points, excluding Ratcliffe-Borough and Ossett Albion.
Yeah, we'll go. Yeah. Are you going to stay up?
Yes.
Yeah, you will. They started off really well, Phil Power and Barry Massey there at Salford. Yeah, they were one of the last unbeaten teams in the division, weren't they? I mean, still unbeaten, aren't you? The only team in the top 8 or 9 divisions who were still...
We've since done our research. There's Biddeford from wherever Biddeford is.
And VCD...
Staffordshire
and
area.
And VCD Athletic, who...
That sounds like some form of greed.
But either way, they've gone on this run since where they've won 1 in 13 games, I think it is.
Right.
And that's why they brought these after 6-7 players in.
There's a couple of highlighted fixtures which I've got. In the Premier Division, on Saturday the 9th, Matlock Town are hosting AFC Fylde. On Saturday the 16th of November, Skelmersdale United are hosting Drolsden, which is top against bottom. Quite fancy Drolsden in that one. And Saturday the 23rd, Chorley are hosting Ilkeston FC, which I've highlighted as a big game. In Division 1 North, on Saturday the 9th of November, Curzon Ashton are hosting Farsley FC, which I believe is significant.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big game.
On Saturday the 16th of November, Farsley are playing Warrington Town, which I believe is significant. And on Tuesday the 26th of November, which we might have recorded a show before that, but just to highlight it, Warrington Town are hosting Curzon Ashton.
That's since massive been postponed game. And moved.
There you go, Ben.
So only two fixtures of note in the Division 1 North. And in Division 1 South, Colville Town are hosting Sheffield FC. Scarborough Athletic are hosting, that's on Saturday the 9th of November. On Saturday the 23rd of November, Scarborough Athletic are hosting Hales Owen Town, which, just for pure crowd, I reckon would be quite big. And Saturday the 30th of November, Carlton Town are hosting Gleek Town. And Birke, the last word goes to you.
Well, I just got dead excited because I saw that there's a derby between Northwich Vicks and Trafford, and then I realised it was in the Dootson Cup, so... Yeah.
You were excited, and you will go to that game, I can guarantee it.
You know, I probably will.
It's a new form of derby. So that's the end.
Thanks, Stampy.
That's the end of the MPL show for this month. We'll be back in a few weeks' time, I'm sure, to talk about all the postponed matches and how football should be a summer sport. We have an immense bank on thanks to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which is available at, one more time,
moldteam.com/teammpl. We're doing Movember.
Okay, fair enough. We've got thanks to Ian Burkey from the BBC Radio Manchester Non-League.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you to Swampy from FC United.
As always, thank you very much.
And thank you to Stamper for the beer. That is the end of the MPL show. We wish you all a happy time watching MPL football or staying at home hearing that the game has been postponed. Good luck and all the best. Goodbye from the Magnet.
Hey!